Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe on a 2-5 the game on this Friday. Let's talk some more football with our man, Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, who joins us now. Uncle Chris with us. What's up, Chris?
What's up, man? Carnell Tate. Come on, man. You got to get excited.
I am excited. All right, Chris. So our question of the day is, if you could call the first play for the Titans in their preseason game next Thursday against the 49ers, what would you call?
It will be trips right, X post. That's what I would. Trips right, double go, X post. That's what I would run, because it will be a post to Carnell Tate, touchdown. Let's get all excited.
Okay.
That's all I want. That's it. That's simple. Y'all go over there and run go routes. We'll let Carnell Tate run a post. How about that?
Okay, because they'll probably get single coverage on him and he beat his guy,
yep,
touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely, because you go a 3-by-1 set, you let all them run go routes over there, and you let Carnell Tate run, you know, a single route against, a boundary corner, run a post, and then everybody be excited. You'll be happy, I'll be happy, and guess what? It's going
to
be all right.
I tell you what, if they run that first play of the game, that means, ooh, Brian Daboll listens to the Chase and Big Joe show.
They do. Yeah. I mean, but the thing about it is, we always talk about, you know, getting the fans excited and kind of starting with rhythm and having fun doing some things. Sometimes you need to get out of your box, because if you look at the offense last year, the offense was so predictable. You knew that they were going to, run first and then pass. If they just on the first play of the game, just drop back and throw it and let Carnell Tate go up and catch the ball, man, I'm telling you, you're going to see some excitement.
What's the craziest trick play you were ever part of?
The Music City Miracle.
You're on the bench.
I was. I was sitting there cheering. But it was really cool, because to see it come into fruition and to see it actually work, and then Kevin Dyson run for the touchdown, and then it get kicked to Lorenzo Neal, who couldn't catch a cold, and then you got Frank Wycheck, whose arm was bad at the time, but then you throw it to Kevin Dyson, who wasn't supposed to even be in the game. Man, that was just one of the most special plays I've ever seen.
Well, have you ever, like, all right, how about a call during a game? Like, all right, Chris, because I said my first play of the game is a hook and ladder, because that play always works. That's what I would call. Anything that comes to mind that's like, why are we running this? Like, oh, my gosh, it worked.
Yeah, when I ran a reverse against the Miami Dolphins, and I still have minus 36 yards, that's when I looked at the play the second time, like, this isn't working for me. I'm like, you gonna call it again? I got hit the nose the other time, and then you gonna call it again? But you just it's a rhythm thing, to where you got to catch the defense off balance. To where if you just call a trick play and on the first play of the game, it's not gonna work, because the team is gonna be in a defense is gonna just kind of figure what the offense is about. It's just Dable's got to find a rhythm into finding a way to really call a trick play.
Matt from Paris says, now I know what play NBA is going to run against Henry County tonight. Do y'all have a jam?
It is, actually.
Do you have a jamboree game?
No, we got a scrimmage against just a straight-out scrimmage against Henry County, you know, who's physical, big, and strong. So I'm very excited. And I just tell you, these days that we talk about, like on Fridays, it just feels different. You see how geeked I am and how excited I am, because football is at hand.
Yeah, it is here. What would be your advice to Carnell Tate going into his first preseason game? First time he's putting on the uniform and going out there. And I know it's preseason, doesn't count. But for him, it does, because of the experience. So what would your advice be?
I would just be yourself. I mean, because the thing about it is, if you go out there and just be something that you're not, then that's when you're going to make a mistake. You got to understand that even though you got drafted fourth, even though there's a lot of pressure on you, it's still football. Just go out there, make the plays that you made at Ohio State, make the plays that you've been making in camp, and just go out there and show, not just show the coaches they can trust you, but show the fans that, hey, this is why we got them the fourth pick of the draft.
So the Titans put out a video of Cam literally putting it right in a bucket to Carnell Tate. And, I mean, obviously you want to see that all day long, but let's see it against another opponent. If they truly can get on the same page like that, where can this team go this year?
I mean, I think they can do some big things. I mean, you need some more explosive plays, because if you look at – you know, last year at the offense, they struggled a lot. They was one of the worst scoring offenses in the league. So now you got Carnell Tate, who's a scoring machine. I think he had 11 or 9 or 11 touchdowns last year, and he makes plays. And then also you're going to make everybody around you better. You're going to make Calvin Ridley better. You're going to have a running game with Pollard and Spears, the guys that can make plays. So when you have a receiver that puts fear in an opposing defense's man, he's going to make your offense so much better.
Let me ask you this. The offensive line from 1995 to 1999 for the Oilers / Titans, that 99 offensive line was badass. Ooh. How important is it that they get these five in sync for this 2016 in order for Cam Ward to be successful?
I mean, you said the key word is in sync, and the way you be in sync is everybody has to play together and stay healthy. That 1999 team was amazing. I mean, you had Bruce Matthews, you had Brad Hopkins. Guys didn't know each other. It's kind of like this. I shared it last week. You're running outside zone. They're running to a gap, and the reason why they're running to a gap is because the running back can make one cut and move. And the thing that I love about what I just said is those guys were in position to be in their spot, and they trust each other. You got an offensive line of guys that haven't really played together, but at the end of the day, they're going to have to figure out a way to trust each other and have the same eyes.
Do you want your receivers at NBA to know what the other receiver is doing? And I ask this because is it okay for the right guard to know what the left guard who needs to block and the right tackle? Because it gets confusing. But if I know that the guy next to me, and I'm playing right guard, I know that the tackle on the run play is kicking out the end, and I don't have to worry. I mean, it just makes things easier, I think.
Yeah, it does. And you said it, the receivers, I'd make sure they know every position, because you may get into a two-minute drill to where you may line up at the X or you may line up at the Z, but when they call the play, you know the concept of what we're doing. So if we have a curl flat on the right to where you run the curl and you run the flat, even though you line up on the opposite side, if you line up on the opposite side and you have a hitch, but then you go in two-minute drill and you line up as the Z, you know that I got the curl and number two has a flat. Now you had a situation with the offensive line to where if you have a guy that pulls and a guy doesn't, he gets hurt, another guy comes in, he's going to have to talk to him on what he has to do, and that's exactly what I'm talking about.
When you were corrected in camp or a game or something, how did Fisher correct you when you messed up? Did he? Because we talked to Tim Hasselbeck about the other day, because when Cam Ward makes a mistake in practice – but then you say, don't do that, and then he does it again. You're like, Cam, don't do this. He does it the third time. You're not kicking that guy to practice, right?
No.
And Tim said, what you do, bring him into a film study with the team and embarrass him there, but in a good way. Is that does that work?
Yeah, it does. And the thing about it is I think as coaches, instead of talking at camp, talk to him. So when you talk at him, you're like, man, you suck, you stink, you shouldn't look, you shouldn't make that play. But when you're talking to him, you're correcting him with constructive criticism. So now you're looking to film, hey, Cam, watch the safety. Hey, watch the Cowboy Blitz. Cowboy Blitz is when they're blitzing in the boundary. So when you're looking at those things, even though he's wrong, correct him and talk at him as opposed to talking to him.
Chase and I had a discussion the other day. In practice, should Cam try to do things – that he wouldn't do in a game? I say no. It's a waste of time because you're never going to try to fit it in triple coverage, right? So he should be doing things that he's only going to do in a game, right?
Yeah, because if you get in practice and you do those things, what's going to happen? You're going to do exactly the same thing in the game, because in practice, you're going to think that you're Superman to throw it in a tight window or throw it into a spot to where the only receiver can. So now you're going against the defense. You're going to get it going against the Jets the first game, and now you're feeling that same type of, I can get it in the window or I can get it in a spot, and he's going to feel like he can throw it in there and then throw an interception. Just do what you do. Take what the defense gives you, and when you do that, that's exactly what you're going to do in the game.
Yeah, don't be Superman, right?
Nah, don't be Superman. Just make the play, because at the end of the day, if you throw an interception, you can't be Superman if you sit on the sideline.
Right. This is true. Right. So, look, me, you, and Dr. Crane and Chase, we talk a lot about faith and life when you come on. And Robert Saleh the other day, Chris, talked about when Jeffrey Simmons got thrown out of practice and how he wants the defense to antagonize the offense up to a certain point. Then Robert Saleh said, Chris, find your way back to the huddle. And to me, that is a massive metaphor for life. Find your way back home. Find your way where you're safe. Find your way where you're comfortable. Find your way back to huddle. Chris, I'm telling you, man, that phrase hit me in a way that I haven't been hit in a long time. I just thought that was powerful for more than just football and sports. Find your way back to your home. You're one of 11. Find your way back to the other 10 to be that team, right? I mean, it just hit me so strong.
Because the thing about it is, just imagine, when you go home, you have a dad, you have a mother, you have siblings. It's a safe place. So when you go back to the huddle, after you made a mistake or get into a fight, you can always go back home and get comfort. You all, you know, every player needs that. We go through situations, we go through trials, we go through life, but always have an open door to where you can go home. And I'm glad that you said that, because at the end of the day, we think we mess up or get in a fight or this and that, that you can't always be welcome back home. I'm not trying to preach right now, but I'm going to say a little bit. Luke 15, when a prodigal son messed up, it says the father was waiting for him to come back home. After he made mistakes, after he blew it, he was looking and waiting for his son home. Why? Because it says this. He said he gave him a fatted calf, he gave him a robe, he gave him the ring. Why? Because there's comfort in his love waiting for you.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I was telling Chase and Dr. Crane, when I went to junior college to play football, I'd never been at home away for 8 weeks. And I hugged my mom and I said, all right, I love you. She's like, don't come home. And I was like, what? She says, you can if you want to, but don't come home. I need you. You need to figure this out, but you can always come home. And I was like,
it's like you can come home, but you can't stay here.
I mean, right. She knew. I mean, like when you went to Columbus, Ohio, were you not homesick coming from Denver? I mean, that's a whole new world for you.
I wanted to quit. Nobody really knows this story. I mean, just going through so many trials and tribulation and being a small fish in a big pond, and I didn't really know my identity, confused. I was on the verge of quitting. I'm like, I can't do this. I mean, can I even play this game? And, you know, I hurt my knee. I was Prop 48, had to sit out for a year. I'm like, I don't want to do this. But at the end of the day, I had to grow up. And the way you grow up is facing it. You know what? Yeah, I'm going through trials and tribulations. Yes, I'm going through adversity. But guess what? I stepped in that huddle and just did what I had to do. And guess what? Enjoyed the process and now became one of the greats of all time.
Why did you not quit?
You know, I had people in my life that wouldn't let me quit. And that's my mom, because I'm going to give you a perfect example. My senior year, my junior year, they wanted me to do spring football, but I couldn't do it because I ran track because I was doing well. So then now I get to my senior year and they start a junior. So now I'm on my way to go to practice. You know, after the game, we play Fresno State. And I call my mom and said, Mom, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of going through all this and not seeing the results. But this is what she said. I'll never forget it. She said, baby, it's going to be all right. And then the next week, they put me back in the starting rotation. I scored a touchdown against Pitt. I scored two against Wisconsin, two against Purdue. Went from not being known to getting drafted in 1995, the 67th pick.
Baby, it's going to be all right. Oh, man. Only a mom could deliver that.
Yeah.
Ooh, and when mom says it, you listen for sure.
Thanks for sharing that, man. I appreciate that, buddy.
Man, thank you, man. Appreciate y'all, man.
Chris, good luck against Henry County, and we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Love you, brothers. Thank you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely.